You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series today takes us to the Minnesota South District.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Lucas Whitford. He serves as president of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Farmington, Minnesota. Dr. Whitford, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Wonderful to be with you. Thanks for having me.
We are looking forward to this conversation. We have enjoyed this series immensely, and we're only, I think, about a third of the way through.
Something
I'm not sure,
like
somewhere
that,
around there. But having a blast getting to know all of you on the Council of Presidents. I hope our listeners are enjoying it as much as we are in this
series.
We're
having a lot of fun.
We start off with the lightning round. Are you prepared, sir? Are you ready?
As best as I can be, I think so.
All right. Here we go. Favorite color?
Blue.
Yes. I got to tally these. Maybe by the time this airs, I will actually have been tallying that. That is, I think, the most popular one. Anyway, favorite cuisine?
Sushi.
Oh.
Friends.
That's a new answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might have to unpack that. Okay, favorite book. We know you love the Bible. We know you love the Lutheran Confessions. We can build on that.
The one I'm currently reading, which usually means I am constantly reading new books all the time and generally go after it, whatever I'm reading. If it's nonfiction, fiction, I read every night to my kids, yet they're different ages. But typically either the Chronicles of Narnia or a J.R.R. Tolkien novel.
Yes.
Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rich.
Those are popular ones. That's good. Good mm-hmm. stuff. All right. A very important question. Your favorite office supply?
Pens. And it has to be a rich writing pen because signatures, when I sign, I don't like too thin and then it runs out of ink. I like a nice thick pen. So my office admin knows the exact ones that I enjoy.
Which ones are they?
So I have them right here. It's these Uniball Vision Elite.
Okay.
We should also tally the
yeah, I think that's two Uniballs.
Okay.
Favorite dessert?
Yeah, it's something chocolate, but it's usually like a French silk pie, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Although you can't go wrong with that question. Favorite vacation destination?
Probably a cabin where it's quiet and there's no pressure and we've got access to the lake so we can do some swimming or fishing and the kids can enjoy time and mom and dad can just relax.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of kids, which one is your favorite? I mean, well, favorite hymn.
That's right. Usually the child that pays me the most for that answer is usually the one. No. favorite hymn. I have two that I go back and forth between, but I have How Firm a Foundation. And just for the, I like the tune and the full story, all five stanzas. But then In Thee Is Gladness as well, because of the, having experienced multiple tragedies or sadness, but in Christ is gladness, in Thee is gladness, and because it's a wonderful text, but also the tune. My wife is a musician, and so I'm mindful of the tunes and the uplifting nature of tunes.
Yes, those are both ones you can dance to. Those are good.
Yep.
Great ones.
Yep.
Favorite time of day?
Probably the evening. We're not necessarily big morning people in our home, but we have supper together every night, and so it's when everyone's coming back from wherever they've been, and have a wide range of age of kids, and the stories that are told at the supper table, and catching up on the day.
So tell us about where you grew up, Pastor Whitford.
I grew up, well, started off life in South Dakota on a dairy farm, first 7 years of life, but then moved to West Central Minnesota. Small town called Candy High, and grew up in a small town where we, with all the neighborhood kids, play all the normal games, I suppose, kick the can, hide and seek, but we'd use the whole town as boundaries almost, running across the town. So then ended up going to Wilmer Public High School and graduated from there, played three sports, and was very involved in activities within the school as well. So a small town farm boy background.
What was the journey that took you from that small town farm boy background through your education and eventually to the seminary?
My folks, very active, grew up LCMS, very active in church. My dad was elder, often very active on the boards. And then my pastor and his wife, in about eighth grade, they both of them said, you know, you ought to really think about being a pastor. And so I said, you know what? Okay, long as I can play football, I'll do that. Had that set in mind ever since eighth grade, going through high school. That was what I was going to be. You know, that was my plan. Went to college with that. And usually I went to Concordia St. Paul. And there I usually say I majored in football and I minored in my wife back up. But usually probably, I suppose, the other way around should be now. But and then went on to St. Louis after that. So just very active faith life of my folks and encouraging. And I should say that was through when I was in, I think, a junior or senior, we went through a very difficult church split. And my dad was chairman of the elders at the time. So I, to some degree, I went into ministry eyes wide open. I saw the very ugly side that ministry can, the church that can happen, to the point even where we received phone calls, intimidating phone calls and death threats even during this church split, which so we know where how things can be, but we also know the great love of Jesus and the importance of forgiveness in the midst of that.
So let's take a look at seminary and formation. What are some of the highlights for you from seminary? You said you attended Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis.
Yes. So I actually tend to say I'm ecumenical because I have degrees from both seminaries. So
very good.
Yeah. So I attended for my MDiv and my STM St. Louis, and highlights were there. Just going from when I started, just saying I'm out of place here. This is not me. I'm not smart enough. I can't figure out how I fit in here. How is the Lord going to actually use me? This is for smart people. And then a couple of key professors along the way, and a great field work church pastor that gave me encouragement and kept encouraging me along the way to help build up some confidence. And then really seminary, I think, is probably the first place I really fell in love with deeper education and learning how to think about thinking. How do I think about thinking? Not just theology, but learning itself. And so always having that in mind of how can I think critically, but in a way that can share the good news of Jesus with others, whether there's someone that's on the farm and grew up on the farm like me, or someone that's white collar, and be able to engage with them in a way that shares the love of Christ.
You mentioned you have degrees from both seminaries. What inspired you to pursue even more theological education?
When I was at my second call, I looked at, I'd been thinking through and thinking I like continuing to learn in service to the congregation. So a hybrid option of learning through Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, but they were doing the Doctor of Ministry classes on site at Concordia in St. Paul. So it was one of the first cohorts back in the early 2000s to do that. And so, and it was 45 minutes from where I was serving at the time. And so I thought I brought it before my elders and council, and it was the Doctor of Ministry in Christian Outreach and Evangelism, and the congregation I was serving was part of the big housing boom, and a lot of people coming out into the community where we are. It's a bedroom community for the Twin Cities, and so was looking at how can I further and grow in my understanding, but also in a way that would help the church and set the church up in the community for continued outreach. And so scratched both itch of being practical and then digging deep into the theological as well.
How does that continued education help you serve both in your congregation and in Minnesota South District?
Sure. What I like to do is it teaches me how to think critically about why am I a Lutheran, and to recognize not just why am I Lutheran, but why do I think the way Lutherans talk about Scripture and the good news of Jesus is so significant to the lay of the land in Christianity, the broader Christianity. And so we have such a strong emphasis, of course, on law and gospel with Christ at the center, and then recognizing it in a postmodern world. That was part of the dissertation that I worked on, and the reality of how do we communicate that truth to a postmodern culture or people who aren't necessarily interested in the church, haven't heard about Jesus, and how do we equip the congregation members? And that was part of my dissertation project too, is how do we equip the congregation members to be robust in their own faith, but then confident in sharing that, giving a reason for the hope that they have in their daily stations and vocations of life. So there was an overlap that I saw of not only challenging myself in further education, of course, but in a way that served the congregation, served the leadership, because they needed to be involved in part of that the dissertation project process, in a way that benefited their own growth in the faith, but then also an opportunity to serve our community and engage our community robustly and intentionally.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Lucas Woodford, president of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Farmington, Minnesota. We have more to talk about right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Lucas Woodford, president of the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Farmington, Minnesota. And you've mentioned a few congregations. Tell us about the congregations that you've been able to serve and the congregation you're currently in.
Sure. So my first call was at First Emmanuel in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Wonderful first call, very large congregation, had about 3,300 members and a school of about 330 students as well. And so I was one of three full-time pastors. And so we had about two or three part-time as well that helped out there. And so began ministry there. Randy Rosh was a wonderful mentor, the senior pastor there that helped me understand what it was of ministry and especially large settings. The relationships are very important. And so we certainly love the Lord and we love people. And then we get to do that in the context of our Lutheran theology. And so I took that with me as my second call then was at Zion Mayer in Zion Lutheran in Mayer, Minnesota, which was again a church and school. And I was called as a senior pastor. And so that's a congregation that was about 900 members or so, and I had a school of about 160 students, and then we're in association with the high school as well. And so served there for 13 years and had a wonderful time with the saints there. Had, like many folks in ministry, had ups and downs and some challenges to work through, and the Lord has a way of refining one through that. And so one of the ways I described that when I was considering that call while I was at First Emmanuel, a lot of exciting things, growing community. I was being called as a senior pastor, relatively young, and I thought I had all the tools and was ready to serve. And I came to learn that the Lord has a way of humbling those who think too much of themselves. And so went through that refining process and was thankful for the Lord taking me through that and learning and really looking at how do I love these people. It's the old adage, they really didn't care how much you knew until they know how much you care. And so went through that. And so that folks are still very dear to me. Occasionally, I still have some interaction with them because I'm still in the district where that congregation is, but was elected then after almost 13 years of serving them, was elected as district president. And then after about 2 years of being district president, really wanted to be able to still be connected in a way that serves the congregation. So then I received a call as a part-time associate in Trinity in Farmington, Minnesota, a smaller congregation that allowed me to be able to be engaged with them. Now, I did take that when they became vacant. So I was a little crazy. I was serving full-time district president, and then I took on the vacancy for a year as well. And that nearly did me in. They are beloved. The saints there are a wonderful congregation, just a warm congregation and a joy to be a part of now. Have a wonderful, capable pastor there, Christian Einertsen, who serves there. And so just three wonderful congregations to be a part of throughout my ministry so far.
What are your duties as district president, Minnesota South District?
Well, if those that like to explore the duties, they can certainly read the bylaws, which is enthralling reading for everyone to read to find out what an ecclesiastical supervisor is obligated to do. If they get past that, the reality of a district president, some people call it a bishop, in terms of the nomenclature that's used, we call it the district president, is ecclesiastical supervisor. So has oversight of congregations and church workers, or those who are members by our bylaws, members of the synod. So I have about 232 congregations in my district that I oversee the doctrine and life of. And then I have about almost 1,000 church workers between pastors, teachers, commission workers, a director of parish music, DCEs, DCOs, that oversee doctrine and life as well. So what I am often involved with is most frequently vacant congregations, helping them navigate that vacancy, getting them call lists. Then alongside of that, where there's turmoil and conflict, either between within a congregation or between church workers, looking at that. Also then looking at how can we continue to expand the kingdom and looking at opportunities for church planting and church growth with that. But as I think many districts are experiencing as well, which I just had to do again on Sunday, I was at a closing a congregation, which is a very hard thing to do, and a challenging time. This is since the start of the triennium for me, which was September of last year. This was now my ninth, or it would have been my ninth service of closing a congregation. Sometimes that's a challenge because many people, they grieve. It's like a funeral. And so that's the heavy part of it. But then just the week before, I was at a new congregation where I was able to preach at a new church plant and beginning. It was a Liberian Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation in one of our inner city locations. And it was a joy, of course, to be a part of that. So as district president, I see quite a gamut of emotions and interactions with people throughout the district and the mission and ministry that happens in Minnesota South.
You mentioned the congregations, the schools, the workers. Tell us a little bit more about the geography of the Minnesota South District, maybe some things that are unique about it.
Sure. So the geography is essentially Minnesota South District is the lower third of the state, but it's not a straight line across the third of the state. It's just above the Twin Cities, if those that are familiar with it, just above the Twin Cities. And then as you go further west, the line starts dropping down lower and lower across to the South Dakota border. And then we have a couple congregations in Wisconsin just across the border, and then a couple in Iowa on the southern border. The geography of the state, of course, includes the Twin Cities and the metro area around that, but then it includes the greater Minnesota area, which is spread out and has a lot of rural and small town and farming communities where our congregations are located at. And so my goal, even though geographically compared to some of our other geographic districts, it would maybe take about 4 hours to travel from one border to the other, which is fairly small compared to some of our really large geographic districts, because we have a higher concentration and a higher number of congregations within the district. And so you have, as a district president, trying to navigate the mentalities, not just every congregation has its own unique personality. We recognize that. But within the different demographic environments, geographic environments, rural and small town congregations, farming communities have a different personality than some of our metro or suburban congregations and compared to some of our inner city congregations. Each have a different dynamic. We have one county in Minnesota South District in the metro area that I believe it was some 112 or maybe it's even more now, languages that are spoken in that county alone. So very unique opportunities for we have a high number of immigrants that coming into the Twin Cities area. And so we have a number of immigrant congregations. We have a number of Hmong congregations, a number of Ethiopian congregations. We have an Eritrean congregation. We have a number of Liberian congregations, and it's a joy for me. I love trying all kinds of different foods, and so I've really come to love injera. It's the bread of Ethiopia, it's a flat bread, and you use it. You pull a piece apart, and you wrap your other meat and different food that you have, so they don't really use utensils. And it's just when you break bread together, and you really get to know people and understand their culture. And then joy of sharing the good news with them as well. So it's been a joy for me to get to know folks that way and share the good news and share life with them as well.
Why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Well, I think that comes down to those that nurtured certainly my faith, which was my mom and dad, and they were very encouraging in faith, and they never pressured me any way regarding the pastoral ministry. And so it's just encouraging the faith that when my pastor and his wife said, you know, you really ought to think about being a pastor, they thought, oh, that's great if you want to do that, and we'll support you. But we first always want you just to be strong in your faith. And so because I had people who were very supportive all along the way, starting with my family, in my congregation, and then in undergraduate school, and certainly through the seminary itself, my home congregation, really, they were the ones who financially supported myself. And then when my wife and I got married right out of college, massive amounts of financial support. And so I owe a lot of thanks and gratitude to my home congregation, which was Redeemer in Wilmer, for the tremendous amount of support and encouragement, both spiritually, verbally, but then also financially that they gave throughout my formative years and formation years.
All right, it's time to circle back to the lightning round before we're done with our conversation. And you threw a big softball up just saying that your favorite book is the one you're currently reading. I got to know what you're currently reading.
Oh, sure. Well, right now I'm reading The God Hypothesis, The Return of the God Hypothesis, so by Stephen Meyer. So my daughter she got two degrees. She got a biology degree and a BS in biology and then a BA in theology, so she was pre-med and pre-deaconess. And so she and I love to keep going back and forth and engaging in cross-field sciences. So she got married and had a child. So she's working at CSP right now in raising up cross-field scholars in their Solus Christus fellows program. So she and I share that interest in the sciences as well as theology. And so currently that's one of them. I'm reading The Desecration of Man by Carl Truman, just came out as well. So I'm just starting that one as well. But then I'm in the middle of The Lord of the Rings with my younger three kids. That usually about a half hour of reading in the evening time at bedtime with them.
It's a great selection.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned favorite cuisine is sushi.
Yeah.
Favorite roll, or what do you like on sushi? Or maybe it's not a roll at all. Maybe it's not maki rolls. Maybe it's something else, nigiri or something.
Yeah, nigiri and sashimi. I really love the choice cuts of the salmon and the tuna, the kind that just melt in your mouth. So I get a little picky on the sashimi, but nigiri style. So any, I often get, and I'll risk it with a chef's choice on a platter, what they'll allow. I don't care for eel. Or eel sauce. That was just part of the whatever. It hits me wrong on that. But I think 6 out of my 7 kids loving sushi now. My wife won't touch it, but my kids are enjoying it as well. So we get when we get a great big platter for our large family, 7 kids, or of my son-in-law, of course. He really doesn't eat too much of it himself. So it's kids and myself. We get a lot of rolls. So depending on the type of rolls, that are chef's choice sometimes. But all the kids are branching out as well. So whether it's California roll, spider roll, shrimp tempura roll, any number of them. But talking about it makes me hungry for it. So
yeah.
Well, maybe Same. We can find a good sushi place at convention this summer.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. There you go.
Pastor Woodford, thanks so much for spending the time with us today. The Reverend Dr. Lucas Woodford, President of Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and Associate Pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Farmington, Minnesota. Thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.